I'll just tell you that as we gather together today to have this conversation, I definitely wanted Christy up on stage so we can tell a little bit about our love story. That's sweet. Anyway, and we asked the kids, the older kids, to come in with us today. I think it's a perfect idea and opportunity to hear a little bit about that, but also invited some friends, Rick and Lisa, to come and share a little bit of their story too. And I'll just tell you, when I asked Rick and Lisa to be up on stage with us and told them what we're going to talk about, I don't know if it was Rick or Lisa. I don't remember who responded, said, kind of like a, who, us? Are you sure? Why? I don't remember the exact words, but it was kind of tongue-in-cheek of, that's the wrong people, you know? But the coolest thing about their story is they arrived at the point of their love relationship and their, not just their marriage, but the way they do life differently than the way Christy and I did, but we're at the same place. And I'm excited about that. What you're going to hear us talk about today, just a little disclaimer here, we're not throwing stones at anybody. Even Rick and Lisa, if you ever get a chance to really sit down and talk with them, they have some tough stuff in their adult life and love story, some choices they made. And I don't say that, you know, in any negative way. They know that. We're not throwing stones at them. We're not throwing stones at our family. Lisa and I could, I guess, but we're not. But it's a part of our story. And we want you to hear some of that and just be in prayer for how this may impact you. Now, one small introduction that's a little different than that. Well, you're about to hear Christy introduce herself. Where's the microphone? Do we have it yet? Oh, there it is. Is introduced a little bit just about her own life and self and that kind of thing. I'll introduce her in a special way. She's about to be my wife of 25 years. That's right. She deserves a lot of applause for that. Absolutely. And there's so many stories involved in all that. And I just know that I'm doubly blessed in ever how you want to say it that way of knowing that someone can stick through all of my weirdnesses and struggles and troubles for 25 years is proof that love exists. All right. So anyway, I'll let her finish introducing herself and then have Rick and Lisa do the same.
Good morning. I'm Christy, and I will say, yes, I have been married to Brian for 25 years almost. In June, it'll be 25 years. And we have four children. And in my spare time away from Brian and the kids, I teach middle school. So
she approaches hell with a squirt gun every day. That's middle school, right? Just kidding, middle schoolers, but you know what I'm talking about. And, she's a busy person with that teaching thing. So
I'm Lisa Mole, and Rick and I have been married a little over 10 years, and we have five kids between us. We're a blended family and six grandbabies, and I have a natural health business. And that's what we do.
That's what we do.
Glad she went first. Lisa is the better half, by the way. My name's Rick Mull. We're also about to celebrate another anniversary. We've been at Life Point Church for almost 10 years, probably right around June, I guess, something like May or June. Yeah. It'll be 10 years for us. I'm an oil field guy. You know, my future's a little questionable right now.
We should pray.
Yeah, we should pray for that. Yeah, right. But I think Lisa pretty much said everything else with the five kiddos, all boys, and then we've got three of each, three granddaughters and three grandsons. So, kind of.
You can also call him Pops, right? Pop or Pops?
Pop.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Okay, all right. Pop. That's cute. That's cute. Anyway, I can call you Pop from now on. Hey, Pop. Hey, as we start this conversation off today, I'd like for us all to kind of give kind of a short story, a short testimony about how we grew up understanding this subject of love, and especially focus on how our parents and families exhibited love for one another. And I'll go first just to kind of give an example of what we want to talk about is I kind of grew up, I guess I would label my story, love story growing up, as confusing. Again, not throwing, you know, any judgments towards my mom and others, but, and my dad too, but, it's very confusing. My parents divorced when I was 7. That was because my dad was a very serious alcoholic. Had brought a lot of struggles into their marriage, into our family. He was actually killed a year later in a car accident. Before he did pass away, he had already remarried once to somebody I didn't even know. My mom did have dating relationships and was remarried later on, and to, you know, someone that was very different than I, you know, kind of experienced life with. And so I would just say confusing. Not all bad. I had incredible grandparents, and if you've been around me very long, you've known that I've talked about that, and that both of them were married, you know, over 50 years, and had a great relationship with them. But even in their relationship and other relationships, I would just tell you, you hear this word called love, and you kind of have a perspective of love, and then and this idea of love, and then you see so much hurt and struggle and pain and loss, and you wonder how real it is. You wonder how lasting it is. And so I would just label mine confusing, and I'll add some more to it here in just a little bit when you add some spiritual elements to that story and not sure how they fit. So I think you still have the microphone, don't you? So you go ahead.
Well, my life started out in a very, very loving, affectionate atmosphere. For the first 8 or 9 years of my life, we lived in my hometown, my parents' hometown of Terrell, Texas, which is the side of Dallas. And my grandfather was a pastor there for many decades. And my maternal grandmother lived there as well. So we had a lot of family gatherings, you know, a lot of church activities. So really a pretty stable Christian environment is where I originally came from.
Okay. How about you, Lisa?
Like Brian, mine was quite confusing, in a word, dysfunctional. Parents divorced when I was like 2, very violent home. And so it was kind of like fleeing for your lives. And so I credit my mom with getting us out of there. But being very young, very ill-equipped, and spending most of my life trying to grow up and find herself, we were always starting over. And so very dysfunctional.
Okay.
I have the blessing of having a wonderful heritage in my family of commitment and in marriage specifically. My grandparents, both sets of my grandparents and my parents have been a wonderful picture of commitment and love. And then so, therefore, in our family life growing up as a small child, I had a very supportive and loving and stable environment that I was blessed with, and that heritage of actually until death do us part from our grandparents as well.
You know, Rick, we could all say we married up, right? I mean, you know, right, guys? We can all say that. This is a great day to admit that, right? If you want to look at him and say, wow, I don't know where I'd be without you, fellas, you can do that. Do that, really. I mean, helping you out here, fellas. Anyway, so I definitely can say that. But to what Christy just gave testimony, not only did I marry up, I also married into a family that did grasp love in a very real and tangible ways. And I know my in-laws are over there. Okay, you can wave. If you haven't met Monty and Beverly, they're part of LifePoint and retired pastor and retired educator. And so they're great role models for us, not just in occupation, not just in choices and morals, but in this love story. And I'll boldly tell you and thank them so much for setting a tone that I didn't grasp. I didn't know. And I'll tell you the biggest thing that really hit me. I'd already turned to ministry when I was in high school and in college, went to school for that. And then when Christy and I married, I will honestly tell you that I was very that confusing background. We can all talk about how our early story impacts our even our present day. But I was in major doubt of me being able to take God's love and apply it to being a husband and eventually a father, not to mention other roles. I knew what God's love was. I read about it, talked about it, preached about it, sang about it, like we always have, right, in church life. And the question comes is, can we take that kind of love the kind of God love that we're about to read about, and bring it into our story. No matter what our background is, Lisa or Rick and Christy, no matter where we come from, can we take that incredible love of God and not just allow His love to give us forgiveness and give us hope, but how does it impact how we see loving others around us? Obviously, that applies to our husbands, our wives, our kids, our parents, the rest of our families, and also beyond that. And so I want to talk about that today. One of the things that Jesus says very plainly is that if you love me, you obey me. And that's a lot about how we take God's word and allow it to filter in the life of Christ. And we take those things and we filter those into our everyday life. And so out of John 13, he says, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. Not if you go to church, not if you dress up, not if you know all the songs, not if you can quote all the scriptures, but if we love like Jesus loves, we're known as followers or disciples of Christ. If you love one another. And so that underlying part here is so important, is he gives us a context of how we should love as he loves us. He says that again in John 15, but he adds a detail to it. My command is this. Again, he calls these commandments, okay? Love each other as I've loved you. There's that statement again. And then he gives kind of a description of how that fits. Greater love has no one than this, than lay down his life for his friends. Obviously, that was a statement that he was talking about what was coming in his own life. But then we have to look at, what does that mean for us? Does it mean physically we have to die? What does it mean to lay down our lives? Does it mean, like, for example, in marriage and in home life, that we put others more important than ourselves? That it's not just about my goals, my dreams, my aspirations, my feelings, my pleasure, you know, the things that I want out of this. And kids, make sure you hear this, whether you have a confusing story or not at home. No offense, families, but let's just be real about this. We're painting a picture of what love is like every single day for these younger generations. And we got to make sure we understand what it means to lay down our lives. And then last, how the early church took those statements of Jesus. And by the way, there's two chapters in the Bible that I would call the love chapter. One is obviously 1 Corinthians 13. And it's kind of like a poem or a song of what love is like, you know. But Ephesians chapter 5, I would also call a love chapter. It's very descriptive about how to take the love of God and apply it to our family lives and other lives, especially marriage. And he says, be imitators of God. In verse 1. So he's the goal, to live like him. As dearly loved children, we see a fatherly figure to love like dad loves us. Live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. It's a fragrant offering and a sacrifice. So this is a willing sacrifice to God. And so I'll just say it flat out, or maybe say it in a question. Did y'all see this kind of scriptural-based love? Did you see a scriptural-based love in your family life during your growing up years? Did you see sacrificial love being lived out? Or was it something that you talked about, or maybe for Lisa and I, something that we didn't talk about, and kind of later on in life just kind of slammed into it and said, okay, how do we do this? So you've got the microphone, so I guess you get to go first.
When I was thinking about this question, I did have many examples to draw from, but one of the things that was true when I was growing up and actually still is to this day, the sacrifice of putting another person's goals or dreams in front of you and in front of yours for a time period. And so I saw that when my father was getting his doctorate's degree. And what we did as a family to help support him along that part of his journey, and my mom also with her receiving her master's degrees. I just remember even among our, I actually have memory of our evenings around mealtime and just the cleanup and all coming in to support and help so that you know, mom or dad one wasn't have to do everything, but that at different times we were allowing for them to be able to achieve their dreams and goals and giving them support. And so that was modeled by my family. And then also in return for us as children, I have a brother and a sister, and for all of us, our family, my parents were very supportive of any endeavors that we chose to pursue. So athletics, academics, and any of those types of things for kids, they were always there for us and supporting and encouraging us along that sacrificially.
Yeah, and I'll just answer this is, my quick answer is no. My second half of this is, as Christy and I grew in our relationship, I saw the end product, Monty and Beth, of that kind of love. And I'll just tell you, it was very intimidating because I remember the first time I visited their home and they had a family prayer time. Now, I don't know if you have family prayer times. I didn't. And I just thought, I was like, oh, wow, this is what it's supposed to be like, huh? And then I engaged in how I saw them sacrifice time and their own interest for one another. And how they really did support one another. And even, I remember as Christy and I, you know, were engaged and then married, how drawn she was to that kind of love. And how I had to learn a whole bunch. And still learning, I'll freely admit that. But I'll just tell you, I saw the difference night and day, Lisa. And it was very daunting. You know, how about you? How do you answer this question?
Well, definitely not. Did not see scriptural love lived out in my home. Basic physical needs were met, but emotionally, there was no kind of stability or consistency, and just kind of like fumbling around in the dark, flailing around, and wasn't fortunate like you guys to get together so young with my, you know, with that perfect mate that God had chosen for me, and so I made a lot of those same mistakes, you know, many years, and that with my one goal being not to make those, I made many of those same mistakes.
Gotcha.
So.
Well, I guess I kind of had a mixture. You know, as I said before, early in life, I had a really good stable environment. We had a big church family. We had a big, you know, blood family as well, too. And my parents were real active in the church back then. They were actually the leaders of the high school youth. And so we always had, you know, high schoolers in and out of the house, and mom and dad would help them with this, that, or the other thing. And so I saw a lot of that. Also, we had family prayer time together. I remember my mom especially, but my dad too, reading to us at night, you know, in the evenings when it was time to go to bed. So I did have that. Later on in life, after we moved away from there, you know, I kind of had the other part of it. We never did get consistent in a church after we moved away from Terrell. And I saw all those good things kind of drop off. You know, life got busy.
There's the word, right? And I think we're all got different challenges, whether that's in our past or present or jobs or life or whatever it might be. And it really does push us to understand, no matter what our past was, how to take this sacrificial love of Christ. If we claim to understand the love of Jesus and the forgiveness of Jesus, how do we apply that? Whether you have a story like Lisa and I or like Rick's or like Christie's, It really is a call not to live in the past, it's to live in the present and live in the future, especially if you have that love of Christ in you. And that's why we're focusing on Galatians 2 this month. Galatians 2:20 is a verse I shared with you last week that I want us to focus on this month. It's our focus verse, actually, for February, where Paul says, he goes, it's not about me anymore. I've crucified my own life. I've been crucified with Christ. It's not that I live anymore. This is not about me. It's not about myself. It's not about the my own pleasure, my own goals. As a matter of fact, he'd even say, it's Christ that lives in me. It's how he is growing in me and projecting through me in my life that Paul is talking about. He says, sure, I live life in the body, but I live by faith in the Son of God too. So as I go through this everyday life kind of thing is what he's saying, it's by faith that we talked about last week. That we live in the Son of God, who did what? Here's the best description of Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. It is that phrase, y'all, that just really helps me to understand what the love relationship of Christ towards us is. I mean, let's say it this way. The price of loving others the life, the price of loving me and you for Jesus cost him everything. It absolutely cost him everything. He literally laid down his life for us. He physically stepped away from perfection of being with his Father, the presence of his Father, into this messy planet. And he paid ultimate prices of ridicule and hatred and obviously physical beatings and then crucifixion. It cost him everything. And I think sometimes we want love to cost us what? Nothing. We want it to be easy. Hey, anybody ever been in a real love relationship that it was easy? We need lessons. I need lessons. Okay, it's not. It's not going to be easy. As a matter of fact, let me say it this way. Loving others like Jesus loves us requires significant sacrifice. I do a lot of premarital counseling. And in that premarital counseling, hopefully, if y'all have been in that room with me, you've heard me say, I guarantee you it's going to require you significant sacrifice. And it's going to be consistent. Now, the way that marriage really is successful long term is when you have two people that understands that both. That you're willing to sacrifice for one another to prove the love of Christ. But this isn't just about spouse and husband and wife stuff. It is about painting the picture for the future generation, the younger generation, middle school world and all. It is about how that affects our neighbors. It is about how it affects our church. But let's recognize how important Ephesians chapter 5 is in just a second and recognize it is this love of husband and wife that sets the tone for the rest of culture. And obviously we're struggling with this, y'all. Our world is majorly struggling with the love of husband and wife based on this scriptural and sacrificial love. So let's pause for just a second. Since, Rick, you have the microphone, you get to answer an interesting question that I want us to discuss. I want y'all to think about it, too, as if you're a husband and wife in the room. I want you to think about this. If you're a kid in the room, how do you see this lived out in your family, in your home? What do you see your spouse sacrifice out of love for you?
Well, you know, believe it or not, when I was looking through this script as it is, that was one thing I had the hardest time with, and those of you that know Lisa personally know that she's a very giving person. She gives of herself very freely. And in doing that, it makes it kind of hard to see what she's actually sacrificing in that process because she doesn't ever seem like she's wanting for anything through her giving. But unlike in the public arena, in my private life, in my private thoughts, I'm not as outspoken about them. And Lisa spends a great deal of energy actually reading me. And I think she knows me better than anybody else ever has, really. And she's got to be sacrificing quite a bit of other things to spend so much time getting to know what's going on inside of here.
I agree, yeah. Oh, sorry, I meant that in a good way, yeah. How about you, Lisa? How do you see Rick sacrificing for you?
Similar in that. He is a very kind, compassionate person, but specifically for our relationship, he has taken me as like his mission to know me, to truly know me, and so he supports everything. We talked about dreams earlier. Yes, if it's important to me, it's important to him, and I tend to minimize things that I don't feel like would be important, and then I'll say, well, that didn't matter. He's like, no, it does, and then, you know, so supporting me, providing that emotional support that I didn't have growing up as well. It's helped fill a lot of gaps. So
yeah. So I didn't say this during the first service, but I'm going to say it now. I had a prayer in college life, and the prayer was that whoever the Lord had for me to marry, that they would be a strong, not just spiritual, but relational person that would be willing in their own way to push me past my levels of comfort. Still doing that. And in such an incredible way, because it would be easy for her, even in the midst of my job and my personality, to just let me do my thing and her do her thing. And in the midst of our very full, I hate that word busy, but it is that. I was talking about that to some friends out in the lobby earlier about how full it is and we ought to be very grateful with the level of full that it is. But there's challenge in that. And Christy and I find ourselves having to carve out moments and time and energy and ways to support one another, encourage one another. And it is a daily, as you said, mission to get that accomplished. And I'll just tell you, Christy does a great job of that.
Well, a very specific example I thought of, because I get to experience this every single day, at least every single work day. And I don't know if you know, but Brian and the office is closed on Friday, so it's technically his day off. But every single day, including his day off, every single morning that the girls and I are getting up and getting ready to go to school, Brian doesn't sleep in. He doesn't sit and just read the paper. He gets up and makes coffee. I actually am so spoiled that the other morning I went in. I got up real early. It was a Saturday, though. It wasn't a weekday. I got up earlier than him, and I went in there, and I was like, oh, my word, there's no coffee, because he freshly grinds the coffee beans in the mornings too. I know this is easy, but I just haven't done it. I don't know. So, but those little details every morning are taken care of for me and the girls too. He fixes us breakfast and helps us get out the door, make sure those needs are met for us in a sacrificial way every morning.
So there's a word in Ephesians 5 that everybody needs to prepare themselves for. You know the word, ladies? What's the word, ladies? Submit. Okay, now, before y'all get all defensive, okay, and go, hey, wait a minute, you can't talk about that word. I will tell you, before it says anything about women submitting to their husbands, wives submitting to their husbands, you find in verse 21 where it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so if husbands, if we set a good tone of submitting to the Lord and even submitting to this concept of marriage and to our wives, guess what? There's not going to be a war of her going, don't you tell me to submit to you. Now let's talk about it for just a second, ladies, because what he's telling us to submit to is out of that love of Christ, not out of it's perfect, not out of those guys are doing it all right, not out of you know, who's right and who's wrong. It's out of the reverence for Christ and his love in us. Now, I will tell you, fellas, before you kind of elbow the wives too much here, you need to recognize also in that scripture where it tells us husbands that we are to love our wives as Christ loves the church, who gave up his very life for her. So guess what, fellas? What the standard is for us to set the tone of what she's submitting to is sacrificial love. Batter up. That's all of us. And the husbands and wives together, this is how we set the tone for the next generation. Not that it's perfect. Christy and I are very stubborn people. We're very determined people. We're very busy/full people. But I will tell you that it's because of our value of God's word in us is what drives us back to one another and how we learn from the Lord of how to sacrifice. As we wrap up today, I would just say to you, putting another above yourself shouldn't offend us, even with the word submit. If we love others like Jesus loves us, if that love is in us, it shouldn't offend us. Now, Ephesians 5, as we wrap this up in verse 31, as the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother, is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. It is a great mystery of how that happens. But it's also an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, Paul says to the church in Ephesus, I say each man should love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And this is driven out of that love of Jesus. So let's do this as we wrap up. Answer two questions for me. Number one is, if you had a friend come to you that was either struggling in their marriage or maybe they're about to get married, and they were needing to learn something about how to apply sacrificial love to their relationship, what would you say? I guess you can start. The microphone's over here.
Well, that's a tough question to narrow down into one comment here. But one of the things that I have found to be very helpful for us. We had the opportunity, or were fortunate enough to have an opportunity to go to a Galatians 6 conference with Intimate Life. And through that experience, we learned about the relational needs, which I'm sure many of you have heard about. Brian's spoken about on numerous occasions. And through that, I learned about meeting the needs that Brian has. So obviously those can be numerous at times. They can change over the journey slightly, but as a whole, might even seem overwhelming, you know, as we were just confessing the fullness of life and the distractions that are out there, and you go, wow, I don't know if I can. This is really too much. So to simplify that, I guess, a bit in just being very deliberate about meeting at least one need, knowing them well enough, as we were saying a while ago, knowing them well enough that you know that relational need that is most significant to them, maybe at that time, because like again, it could change. But if it's attention, if it's acceptance, if it's that support, just knowing what that is and being very deliberate about one thing, and sometimes that helps us fight against, I guess, the devil's distractions and the struggle of saying, I don't know if I can do this. It's not working out. But focus in on that one need and be very intentional about that and be very sacrificial about that one. And then that will grow from that point as you experience those little successes and the other one notices.
Yeah. So I'll just give you my sentence that I give to premarital counseling couples. Be the number one need meter in his or her life, and you won't have to worry about it. And you do that out of a drive to love and to be best friends, and you don't keep score that way.
I know you said going to get married or already married. I want to add single, though, and that's to focus on your house, getting this in order, your heart and your mind, you know, in line with God, and praying for that right mate like Brian did. And then getting married, God, he has to be front and center. He has to be a part of it. Don't leave him out in any area. For the married struggling, again, taking the focus off of each other as far as, like, you know, what your spouse's faults are, where they're wrong. Because I guarantee you've got just as many or more. It takes both of you to get in that situation. It takes both of you to get out of it. It takes all three of you to get out of it. Yeah. So shed light in dark places, get it all on the table, and work through it, maintaining love, respect, and honor, and forgiveness.
Okay.
Very good. And I do agree with what you all have said about that. In addition, you know, what I tell people is, you know, attraction and romance is easy, you know. Either you're attracted to each other or you're not. But once you peel that off, what's left behind?
No, that's good.
I've been very blessed to have the same best friend for over 30 years. We've seen each other through a lot of thick and thin. I know what friendship looks like.
Yeah.
And I've been married before. You know, I've got three kids with two different wives besides Lisa. But I think I finally got it right. And we dated for 3 years before we got married. Yeah. And that gave us time to establish that friendship that was probably missing in those earlier relationships that I had. So I think establishing and maintaining the friendship, I would say, would be the one thing that
That's good. That's really good. And I'll just tell you, I tell this to premarital counseling couples or those that are struggling all the time. I say, you know what? We don't keep score of doing things for our best friends. And we also will look at a best friend even when they're, you know, not doing everything right and go, well, that's my best friend. You know, if we can apply that in marriage, it goes a long ways. And I'm going to summarize today by filling in some blanks on our God mission statement, where I'm just going to say I'm confident that my God mission is loving others sacrificially, and I'm fulfilling it by meeting primary needs in Christie's and other people's lives. How would you fill that in, knowing about the sacrificial love of Christ? Let's pray together. Father God, we just pause and know, Lord, that as we wrap up today, that it is your love that gives us hope. It is your love of your Son that gives us forgiveness. It is the opportunity, Lord, to receive that love and that sacrifice that can define our lives from here on. No matter what our past is, no matter what pictures were painted well or not well about love, Father, it's you in this room today and our hearts that you can provide healing and hope, direction, and forgiveness. So, Father, we receive that. And God, we also ask, Lord, for us to fill in the blanks to this God mission that we've been talking about so far in 2016, to fulfill it with the love that you have for us, and may we transfer it, as you've heard probably everybody say around this table today, of allowing that light to shine into dark places around us, even within our own lives, even within our homes and our marriages. God, heal us today, make us new, and may we truly allow the sacrificial love of Christ to come through us. It's in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.